Okay, we're on part five, the Haggadah. We started the Eser Makos last time, and Rabbi Huna Nosan Bem Simanim, the Tachadash Be'achav. After that, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, how do we know that the Mitzrayim received Makos and Mitzrayim, Eser Makos, and on the Yam, 50? So Mitzrayim, what does it say? Ma'omer, v'yomer chatumim el paro etzpa elokimhi. That the makos were called like an etzpa, finger. And on the yam, what does it say? V'yar Yisrael say, yad agdola, shir asa Hashem Mitzrayim, yir Hashem esha, yir Hashem esha, yir Hashem esha, yir Hashem esha, so indeed, so the makos were called etzpa, and the yam was called a yad. So if there is 10 makos, so 10 times 5, a yad has 5 fingers, is 50. So there is 50 on the yam. So makes interesting observation, Gaon Mivilna. It says an etzba is something you warn a person with. You know, you see the parents like warns the kid, you know, shakes the finger at the kid. Right? Etzba is a warning. Whereas a yad, I have to give the kid a punch with the yad. So the warnings with the finger and the punches with the yad. So too, the makas were the warning, their etzba, there was a warning for the Mitzrayim. And the yam was the makah, that was the fine, that was the fine, the actual hitting. So he says, you know, it's hard to understand that, what, that, the takadash, the eser makos, dance, right? Those were only warnings. So we see from here, yeah, in the Maisa there were only warnings, and they didn't take the warning 10 times until they were drowned in the yam. That was defined. That was the real climax, the actual punishment. So he says that we see from here we can glean from this something also, and that is a person, you know, sometimes has something bad happen to him. Rachman son, okay, he loses money. This, and what does the person always say? Kapara savonos. You know, he say, okay, it's a kapara. You know. But he says, see, from here, lav davka, it's a kapara, right? The 10 makos are not kapara, there's warnings. You know, these bad things happen to a person, you think, oh, you know, it's a kapara. No, who knows, that's not the kapara, this is a warning. The real thing's yet to come. So you have to realize that not everything's a kapara, not everything, some things are still on the getter of warning. Okay, so something interesting I want to share with you. It's not really, you know, connected so much with Haggadah. It's just, he brings it under the caption of Moshe Avdo. He's talking about the Chazal that says that we're commanded, losasar min navar shiyagidu lecha yaminu small. That you're in, a person says in the Torah, you have to listen to what the Chachamim say. You can't go left, right or left from what they say. You have to do exactly what they say. And the Rashi brings the Chazal, afilu omar lecha yamin shu small, val small shu yamin. Right? Even if the Chacham tells you that the right is left and the left is right, you still have to believe it. You have to like accept it. So he says, somebody once asked him, he says, what kind of a deal is that? What's that supposed to mean? You know, I mean, he tells me right is left. I'm not going to tell, if he tells me my right is my left, I'm not going to accept that. That's not, you know, I have to, you know, what's emes is emes. You know, come on, he was telling me, I know this is my right, this is my left. What is the Torah trying to tell us? I have to tell him my right is left to believe him. So he said, I calmed the guy down, and I tell him like this. He says, notice, it doesn't say that even if he says that the west is east, or the east is west, you have to believe him. It doesn't say that. Nor does it say that if the Chacham tells you that it's the night is day and day is night, you have to believe him. It doesn't say that either. In other words, it doesn't say things which are for sure givens, that if he tells you the wrong thing, you have to believe him. Okay, no, he's telling you the wrong thing. So why is it Dafka say right and left? Because right and left is it depends. For example, he says, let's say you're talking to the Rav, you're looking at the Rav straight in the face, right? And he says to you, I want you to go right. Okay, so you go right, and he goes, no, what are you doing? I told you to go right. So you tell the Rav, you're looking at, what do you mean? You told me to go right, I'm going right. He says, no, you're not, you're going left, I told you to go right. What's pshat? That, right, if you're facing a person, when he tells you to go right, he means his right. The Rav means his right, which is really your left. Okay, so what right and left is, it depends on which way you're facing. Okay, if you're facing the same way as the Rav, not against him, facing the same way as him, so then it's the same right and the same left. Amamela, that's what the Torah is telling you.
So he's supposed to be mirror imaging him.
Right, right. So therefore, that's what Torah is telling us. That even if he tells you to write his left hand, meaning that why is it, why are you hearing it like that? Why when he tells you one thing, you're saying, no, it's he's telling me right, it's left. Why are you hearing that? Because you're not seeing it in the same perspective as him. Right? If you understood things, you're standing the same way the Rav is standing, facing the same way, meaning seeing things as clearly as the way he did with his knowledge of the Torah, seeing things the same way, you would have the same right and left as him. The reason why, when he says right, you go left, is because you're not standing the same way as him. You don't understand things the same way as him. So the default is in you, not in the Rav. Okay. After which the Haggadah relates the different shitas of how many, in fact, makas were there in Mitzrayim and the Yam, and Rabbi Akiva, he's the maximum. He says each makkah in Mitzrayim was five makos, so which is 10 times 5 is 50, and then the Yam again is 5 times that, which is 250. So he asks, why did Rabbi Akiva, you know, feel necessary to marbet how many, there's so many makos? So he says this is really Rabbi Akiva l'shitase, the way he holds. Why? That on the one hand, a person could think, you know, maybe the Mitzrim don't deserve to be punished so severely. Why? Because we were really not so good, putting it mildly, in Mitzrayim. Right? We fell to the 49th level of Tuma, and, you know, they were worshiping Avodah Zarah, they were Mabatal Bris Mila, until the Malachim said, you know, well, what's the difference between them and they? They couldn't see the difference between us and the Mitzrayim. We're at such a low level, so okay, so the Mitzrayim, who are they persecuting? These people that were us, who were not doing what we're supposed to be doing, to say it, you know, putting them on. So why did they deserve to such a serious punishment? So he says, again, this is Rabbi Akiva's Lishitaso. How is that? That the Gemara says that if a person is Mivayish somebody, so you, how much do you pay him? So you pay him according to the covet of the person. It goes by the mivayesh and the mitbayesh, both people. But let's say the person getting embarrassed, right? So somebody that's a chashuv person, whatever, and you embarrass him, so his embarrassment is much greater than some low life that you embarrass, so he isn't, you know. So the payment goes accordingly. Ah. However, Rabbi Akiva argues, well, it was once a maisa that there was a guy that he pulled off a woman's head covering in public. So it was an embarrasser. So they came to Rabbi Akiva and he said, Paskin, that he has to pay her 400 zuz, which is a tremendous amount of money. Tremendous. So he said, okay, can you give me a little bit of time? He says, yeah, fine. So meanwhile, he set up a trap. And one day he saw this woman, she was outside by her house, whatever, by the street, and he took a thing of oil, a container of oil, and he had it, you know, broke it in front of her, you know, house. And then he hid out with Adim, and they washed as she came, and she saw this expensive oil on the ground. She says, oh, what a waste, you know. So she took off her head covering in public, and she took the oil in her hand and smeared it on her hair, you know, to use this oil, whatever. And then, so he had Adim, so she herself took her own hair covering off. So I should have to pay her. I took her hair covering, she takes her own head covering off. So the broad came to Rabbi Akiva and he says, no, you still have to pay, I don't care. It's different, she's embarrassing herself, and it's different if other people embarrass or whatever. He made her still pay. So he can say, okay, he says, fine, he has to pay. But why so much money? We see the type of woman she is. She is a woman that, you know, she doesn't care so much about her embarrassment that she took her own hair covering off. So why Lamaisa does the Rabbi Akiva Mechayev so much? So the Chafetz Chaim says a great thing. He says, there was some mashal too. It says that Chazal tell us that somebody, Mishiyeshlo Meya, Rotze Matayim. Someone has 100, wants 200. And someone who has 200, Chazal say, want 400. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, why is it that the person that has 100 doesn't want 400? Why does he only want 200? You don't want the 400. Why just only 200? So he says, because somebody who's like poor or whatever, let's say he only has 100, so he does not have any hasagas. He doesn't think about so much money. It's not in the parsha b'chol, because he's a guy who doesn't have that much money. So maximum he can think about is 200. Only after he has the 200, then he expands his horizons. Now he thinks bigger, and now he wants 400, etc., etc., etc. But as a poor person, when he only has 100, he doesn't think so big yet. Okay? Till he expands his horizons, as we said. So Mimele, he says, what happened? Let's say you have a person, he has 400, whatever, he's a rich guy. And then something happened overnight, the stock market fell, whatever, and he lost his money. Okay? Now, how would we look at this guy if somebody embarrasses him? You know, he's out on the street begging, for money and nothing to eat, all of a sudden one day to the next. How would we look if you embarrass this guy? Is that called embarrassing a rich person or a poor person? A rich person. Why? Because he doesn't, just because he lost all his money overnight, doesn't mean now he is, his essence is a poor person. He's still a rich person. He's a rich person. They run into problems. But he still has the hasagas of a rich person because he was just rich yesterday. Okay? So Mele, says Rabbi Kiva, that's the pshat over here. Why do you have to mechayev this guy, even though this woman or so? Because he said that every yid is really a great person. Why? In their essence. Okay, they might act here and there, do things that are not, but in their essence, they're like Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Their hasagas are great. And therefore, if you embarrass them, so you're embarrassing a great person. They're not acting great right now. Just like this rich man that he lost his money. Okay, he's still, his hasag is wealth. And so too, every year his hasag is wealth in chashivas. But Meili says you have to pay this woman even if, she fell and she's embarrassing herself or whatever. But she's still, in her essence, she's a Jewish woman. She has big hasagas and chashivas. So Meili says that's why Rabbi Kiva over here as well gave said that the Egyptians are deserving tremendous amount of punishment. Why? He says, we asked, the Jewish people fell down for the level of Tumah, etc. Why should they be punished? Look, who they were only enslaving these lowly people. There it says, no such thing, right? A Yid is great, even if he happens to be act lowly right now, but Lamaisa, in his essence, his Asagas are great. He's a great, he's Chashev, and a Mele, the Mitzrim deserve to be punished with all these Makas, even though at the time we were not acting the way we should. Okay, it says the Dayenus after that. Ilu keravnu lifnei har Sinai v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah Dayenu. All the Dorshim asked the obvious question over here. What does that mean that it would have been enough if Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah? That would be in Dayenu. What benefit, what greatness is it just to go to Har Sinai? We're not going to get the Torah. You have to get Har Sinai. Now you get the Torah. Now Hashem's not giving us the Torah. What's the big deal of going to Har Sinai? Well, that would have been enough, just bringing us to Har Sinai. Okay, obviously, no different answers. But he wants to be medayik in the in one word in this. Elu kirav kirav nalif ne Har Sinai v'lon nasan lanu es haTorah. Right, Avada Hashem of course he wanted to give the Torah, and he had to give the Torah. The whole world would have been destroyed if he hadn't given the Torah, etc. But it could have just said, "Velo nasan es haTorah." But it adds, "Nasan lanu es haTorah." What does that mean? That he gave us the Torah, the Torah is lo b'shamayim he anymore. And it's up to us to give the psak. Whatever we say down here, the basing sin down here, and Hashem accepts. That's the gadolus. That's what we're saying. If he brought us Har Sinai and just given the Torah, Dayenu, but he didn't just do that. He gave nasan lanu es haTorah. He gave us the Torah that we can decide what's right and wrong based on the rules. Of course, that's the Torah's lo b'shamayim. He says he remembers that he was once by the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said to him that somebody asked me a question. He says that the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach Zayin on Beis asked, "How do we know that the Leviathan is a kosher fish?" So the Gemara,
what's the ancient name for that?
Leviathan. So how do we know it's a kosher fish? So the Gemara brings Psukim that shows that it has fins and scales or whatever, and therefore it's kosher. So he says, somebody asked me that the Gemara says in Baba Basra and Dafayin Hey, and that in the future Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make a seuda, a seuda for a tzaddikim, and he's going to give them from the meat of Leviathan. So what's the shayla? Of course it's kosher. Well, the Shem is going to feed treif to the tzaddikim. So why do you have to bring psukim that to find, it has scales and fins? That's a perfect riot. It's a kosher fish. Hashem's going to feed it to the tzaddikim. So he said, Chazni said to him, I said, but that's not a question. Why? He said, because Torah lo b'shamayim hi. Torah lo b'shamayim. Hashem's going to give it. That doesn't matter what. That's what goes on in Shemayim. Hashem's going to serve. He's going to be the way. That's lo b'shamayim hi. It has to be down. It has to be the Torah that we have in our hand. We have to see if it's kosher or not. Not just because Hashem. Even if Hashem's serving it, that's still called Torah Shemayim. That's mina Shemayim. Okay, it says that one of the things Hashem did we thank Him for is Shikat Sarenu Betocho, right? That He sank our enemies inside the Yamsuf. So he says, we mentioned actually we had a different answer to this question earlier on, but here he asked the same question. What did Paro and his men see to go running after the Yidden in the Yamsuf? Like we said earlier, it was like a death trap. You know, here he sees the Jewish people go in, all of a sudden the Yam splits into 12 sections, and it was the ground was hard and dry, and then like obviously an open miracle. And he sees the Yidden go. So how can you go in when who knows the whole thing is gonna it was a nace done for Israel? The next thing you're gonna go, it's gonna go. The whole water is gonna come to back on you, which is exactly what happened. So how can they be so crazy as to go into Yam? How could they see his miracles in front of their eyes? What are they doing, running into the Yam? So the Ramban says that that the pasuk says that Hashem that night brought a easterly wind. Right, ruach kadim aza, very strong easterly wind that whole night, and so they thought that why did it split? Because of the wind. The wind split it. Right. So the Ramban says, quote, afal pi she'ena ruach pochat hayam ligzarim. That's very nice. But when was the last time that the wind blows into exactly 12 sections? The perfect and etc. All the other nisim that happened then. And lo samu libam gam lazo, says Ramban. But that they didn't pay attention to. Ba'u achareyem mirov tavasam la'ralem. They had such a taiva to do bad to Klal Yisrael that they let's go. Right. I how could you go in? Look what happened. Ah, that's the wind. Okay, but we'll win. But now look at all the miracles. They couldn't win. Finish. So he says, brings a story that he said, I heard in a Vardak to see this idea. He says, there was once a shikor, a drunkard. And family tried whatever they could to stop him from drinking, you know. So, but they don't tell him to stop. So decided to, maybe think of a plan where to limit it at least to begin with, so make it easier to get him off. So they approached him and they said, I'm sure you're yourself realized, bad thing, drinking, we want to help you. So we had an idea. He says, we want you to promise, not that you're not going to drink anymore, I understand you need, fine, but we want you to promise that you'll only drink with somebody, you won't drink alone. Don't drink alone. Okay. So they figure this way, first of all, there's not always somebody around to drink with, which is going to, stop him a little bit. And even when he does, at least there'll be someone there to give him support, to help him, whatever, So he said, fine. He agreed. He promised he's not going to drink alone, only if there's somebody there with him drinking. Okay. So one day, he was like in his house, and he had this tremendous taiva for some whiskey, whatever, and nobody around. So he was looking out the window, maybe somebody will come, but not. So he said, okay, in the meantime, I'll get things ready, just so when somebody comes, So he gets the cups out, he puts two cups on the table, takes the whiskey out, puts it on the table, getting ready, just so when somebody comes, you don't have to waste time, And he is still looking out the window, still nobody, waiting. He goes, okay, maybe I'll do a little bit more hachanas, So he took the whiskey and he poured, he filled it up, this cup, that cup, filled it up to the top, ready to go, so he can just, as soon as the person comes, drink. And no person, waiting, nobody around. So he's looking, smelling this, booze, and he's got to have some, but he, promise is a promise, and he can't drink alone, he's not going to drink alone, he promised, okay, promise. But there's nobody around. So he's sitting there, you know, schwitzing, you know, so what's going to be, you know, waiting for some. All of a sudden, he sees a fly. Fly, like, buzzing around, you know, trying to shoo it away or whatever. And then, all of a sudden, the fly lands on the rim of the cup, the other cup, you know, two cups, he pour one of the cups. It flies on, and then it starts, you know. So he goes, ah, wonderful. I'm not alone. It's a fly. Takes a pick of his cup, says to the fly, L'chaim! And he drinks his cup. He says, oh, you know, the fly's not drinking so much of his. So I'll drink his also. He drinks the fly's cup, and then he finishes the bottle. But says, what's pshat? I mean, that was behind his promise, that he's not going to drink alone. Man, if there's a fly, he's going to, that's called a drinking partner. Of course not. So how could he do that? Hey, because he had such a time with a drink that, fly, upset her, okay, that's my partner, yeah, so I'm not alone, come on. Yeah, you don't think straight when you have a time. So it's the same thing over here. That's just a shot with the meat stream. Right? I said, how could they go in? They see it split or whatever. It says, eastern wind, yeah, upset, it was the wind, yeah, but come on, think straight. Look, the wind does all these miracles. It's like this person who wanted to drink. Yeah, it's the fly, it's okay. It's not. Okay, we'll leave for afternoon. Okay, so it says v'tzipek tzarkenim midbar abeim shana. So he says that he brings the Hashem gave us fed us the whole time we're in the midbar, and he says somebody asked me a question once. What is that? It says Moshe Rabbeinu was made. He says it's a pasuk in Dvarim. It says Ze arbim shana Hashem Elokecha imach lo chasarta davar. The whole time when we were in the desert, 40 years, nothing was lacking. Yeah. So he says somebody asked me a question. So if that's the case, how were the Yidden Mekayim the mitzvah tztaka? Right? Everybody had everything. Nobody lacked anything. So how could they Mekayim the mitzvah tztaka? What am I going to give you? I have everything. So we're stuck. How can you get stuck in the midbar? So he said like this. He says that we know that the man tasted like anything you want, right? So he says that you have a person, let's say, that he's want to take some man. He goes, okay, it can taste like anything. But this guy's a very simple, poor guy. You know, in the past, he didn't know. So he says, what? Okay, I want it to be like a cracker. Tastes like a cracker. That's all he knows, you know, crackers. So, sure enough, he thought of a cracker, and it tasted like a cracker. Another guy was a little bit more, developed, and he said, I want it to taste like a cracker with sesame seeds on it. Okay, he tasted it. It was a cracker with sesame seeds. It tasted better. It was even good, right? Said, however, another guy comes along. He says, "Cracker! I'm going to want it to taste like a cracker with sesame and a piece of herring on top." Says, "Can't compare. Can't compare a plain cracker with some sesame seeds to a cracker with herring on top. It's a whole different story, right?" He says, "But what? The first guy, second guy, that wants a cracker. They never tasted. They don't herring. They don't know what they know. Again, like we just spoke about before, their hasakas were all different. They didn't know what it is. They don't want to ask for or whatever. But this guy knew, so I want to taste like herring. I know it's gewaltig, right? So what? So we see this was the staka that they could do in the midbar." Right, he can come to his friend and said, "What are you thinking of a cracker? Think of some herring on top. It's a whole different metzias. You have no idea. If you think of herring, you'll see it. It's something unbelievable." Right. So that was the chesed that they can share with somebody else, somebody who didn't have the hasaka, didn't realize what things really were, how great they really were, to tell them about it, so that he can think of it also and said, "Wow, this is great." So that was the tztaka that they could do in the midbar. So he says that the lesson that we can glean from this is, he says, we see people, you have two yidden, one, both doing the same thing. One of them, gets up in the morning, dovens, and has his learning set, whatever, and does his thing. And another yid, exactly the same thing, but there's a world difference. One of them does it with cheshek, and he's excited, and it's geschmack, and it's, the other one's like, okay, what can you do? I have to get doven, I have to put on tefillin, I have to, and everything's like cold, because, right? So he says, what's the difference? He says, exactly like the man, right? They both, two people ate the man, but if you have the right kavanas, it's a whole different story, right? It's a cracker with herring. Right? So too, you're going through exactly the same motions, davening, tefillin, whatever. But if you have the right kavanah, you understand it, and it's a whole different story. It's a cracker with hearing. So in Mimele, he says also, therefore, the tzedakah is a sarach to us also. And therefore, somebody who does the mitzvahs coldly doesn't really know to explain to him and to learn with him or whatever and to teach him this and to give him these greater hasagas, like we said, that show him that, hey, it doesn't have to be a cracker. It can be a cracker with hearing. So that's a tremendous tzedakah. So it's a tzedakah we said that was done in the Midbar. We can do the same thing when it comes to the Torah and mitzvahs and how we deal with others. It says a nice vort. It's a taich in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk in Ekev, it says Vayancha v'yarivecha v'yachilcha esaman. Says Hashem tells us that He afflicted us v'yancha v'yarivecha, and He starved us and He gave us the man to eat. So he says, but what's going on? If the man, as we know, we said, tasted like anything and it was delicious or whatever, so where is this affliction, starving, and what? But he gave us the man, so we had the man, so we weren't afflicted, we weren't starving. What's that? He says a great shot. Says the Gemara says in Yoma that they learned from Sukkim that the man didn't fall for everybody the same. Right, says the tzaddikim that fell right outside their door, outside their tent, the man was there. The people that were in Beinonim, they had to go to the entrance of the camp, and the Rishayim, they had to go wandering around looking for it. Okay? So here, imagine, he says, you have the tzaddik, and every morning, you know, Gdavins comes, there's a time for breakfast, opens his tent, right in front, there's the man, day after day, the tzaddik, right? But then, one day, wasn't so good. He did an avera, whatever. Okay, so he dropped down from the level of a tzaddik. So he says, "What happens?" Goes out the next day, no man. So now he's in a dilemma. He says, "Now what?" He says he knows that okay, he's got a portion, except it's not here. He's got to go to the entrance of the camp, or worse, if it was he might have to go looking around like the Russia for it or whatever. And he says, what a busha, you know. Everybody knows, thinks I'm a tzaddik, and every morning I get, and all of a sudden I'm there, I'm looking for my man. He says, it's busha. So what does he do? He comes, he goes out, he didn't see the man, he goes, you know. So he decides, instead of go looking for it, to avoid the busha, I better just to go home and not eat. So he comes in, and they say, what happened? Where's the food? He goes, I want to fast, Hainas Chalom today, I had a bad dream last night, I want to fast, whatever, he makes up some story, he doesn't want to, you know, just want to go embarrassing himself, but he was looking. Right? So mainly says, that's a pshat in the pasuk, right? V'ya'ancha says, some afflicted us, meaning that we didn't find the man sometimes, you know, here we were tzaddikim, and sometimes he afflicted us by, we went out and said, hey, no man. V'yarivecha, and he may starved us, meaning, so that led to what? That we didn't eat, because we don't embarrass ourselves to go looking for our man, it's an embarrassment. So therefore, we fasted. V'yarivecha, he starved us, we had to fast. But then, by fasting that day, we did tshuva, because we said, you know, I'm not eating, why not eating? Because I did this avera, whatever, and we'll do tshuva. V'yachil chasaman, the next day we got the man again back at the door. That was the events. V'yancha. We didn't find it. He starved us. We fasted. And then at the end, the tshuva, we had kilcha saman, he gave us the man. Okay. It says that Har Sinai, right? He gave us the Kiravnu. He brought us to Har Sinai. He gave us the Torah. Nasan lai Torah. So he says once there was a Baal tshuva. Was a Baal Tshuva for many, many years, and he himself became like a mashpia. He was tried to work into kiruv, whatever, and he was successful because he could relate to the people who was mekarvin, because he used to himself, you know, not be religious. So once he said he was speaking to a group of people with educated, well educated people, doctors, lawyers, whatever. And he was telling them about this Gemara and Shabbos, not Peites. It said, "My Har Sinai, why is the Har called Har Sinai?" So one day is it as a lashon of Sina, of hatred, because it brought hatred to the Goyim. Rashi says, "Shalo kiblu bo Torah," right? Because they didn't accept the Torah, so Hashem like hated the Goyim because for it, because they didn't accept the Torah. So I said, what is that supposed to mean? So he brings the famous Gemara and the Avodah Zarah or whatever, and the Midrash that the Hashem came to the Goyim and then offered them the Torah. Came to Esav, he says, what is it? And to Edom, he says, what is it? He says, wait a second, what's written in it? You know, what is written in it? So he said, Lo tirtzach, Hashem told him, you can't murder. He said, oh, we can't keep it. It's our brachas, al char b'chatichye, we live by the sword, and we can't, we have to kill, and that, etc. So he went to the other nations, etc., etc. So he offered them the Torah, and they didn't accept it. So that's like Pashup Shad over here, since they didn't accept the Torah, you know, they, Hashem, you know, there was a Yard Asina, Hashem hated them for that, for not accepting the Torah, until he came to us, so we said, Nasav and Ishma. We accepted it just like that. So he said, I was telling over this the Gemara or whatever, and all of a sudden a lawyer puts up his hand and he says, wait a minute, I got a kasha. So he says, what? He says, well, what's so terrible about what the Goyim did? He says, that's being a lawyer, you know, says you don't accept something until you see the contract. You know, just blindly, yeah, okay, where do I sign? You know, no, you read the contract, see what's doing, then you sign. That's you know. Being a lawyer, that's what he had a good time. And he said, so what's this Torah? The Goyim, they said, what's written in it? And then, oh, no, no good, you're not getting the Torah. Only Klal Yisrael said, Nasav Nishmat, accepted it blindly. Well, why is that so? What's wrong with, asking what's written in it? So he said, he didn't know what to answer. He goes, let me think about it, look into it, and I'll get back to you. So he asked Rav Yaakov the question. He says, it's a good question, Lechura. What do I answer him? So he says, you can answer him the following. He said, the truth of the matter is, if it was just that, you know, the Goyim just, you know, Esav, you know, Edom was offered the Torah, and he just said, no, I want to see what's written, because he doesn't want to accept it blindly. If that's all it was, he's got a point. Right? He has a right. You have a right to ask what's in it. So what was so terrible? Terrible was, you have to see what's behind the scenes. What is that? When Esav, right, when he was, he came in from the field, the Torah says, and the Chazal add to it, that he came from the field, he just had been over on the Gili Arash, it was Dami, Borazar, it was Kofar, whatever, and he comes in from the field, and he's hungry, and he says to Yaakov, what's that? He says, Talitaini Nami Adom Adomazeh. He says, give me this red stuff, whatever, and therefore he's called Adam. So he says, well, what's Pshat? Give me this red stuff. What's Pshat? Pshat is that he didn't even ask what it is. He didn't know what it was. Otherwise, he said, give me the lentils. Why do you say red? Give me the red. All he saw is the color red. I have to find out what it is, exactly what's cooking, you know, what is this? Give me the red stuff. Means he didn't, I don't care, just give it to me. I mean, before he even had a chance to look what it is, examine it, see what the food is. No, just give me that. So he says, so what do we see here? She says, that was the Taina on Esav, right? And when it comes to food, I don't care, just give it to me. Oh, why don't you look? I don't care what it is, just give it to me. When it comes to food, yeah. When it comes to the Torah, wait, let's see what's written in it. Not so fast, I'm not going to accept it. So when it comes to food, no problem, just give it to me, I don't care. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't matter. But when it comes to the Torah, all of a sudden, oh, not so fast, what's written? So that the stira, that was the problem in Esav. He was always like that, about careful. Okay, you can be careful. But hey, when it comes to food, you're not careful. When it comes to the Torah, you're careful. That was the stira. That's what Hashem was saying. Says that once person asked him, he says, yes, how come you religious people, you know, don't make the Torah to fit the times a little bit? You know, you keep the same Torah, whatever. Oh, come on, you should, you know, adjust it, you know, make it fit the time. So he said, he answered the following. He says, you know, he says, a kid grows up, you know, so when he's a little kid, you buy him a pair of shoes. And then what happens? His foot grows. And the shoe gets very tight. Okay? So now he says there's a few possibilities of what you can do with in the situation. Right? There's four possibilities. Okay? One thing you can do is you could extend the shoe. Right? He says what we used to do as a kid. He said, you know, when our big toe was, you know, in pain because it was there, so we used to cut a hole where the big toe is, so the big toe can come through, you know, and give a little bit of more space. Okay, you can extend the shoe. That's one possibility. The other thing is you can, of course, buy a new pair of shoes. It's too small, so you buy a new pair of shoes, or you could go barefoot. Okay, or you could just deal with the pain and walk with your shoes and be in pain. Four possibilities. He says, but isn't it interesting that nobody ever thought of the fifth possibility? What's that? Just cut your toes down. Cut off your toes and it'll fit perfect. He says, how come nobody thought of that idea? The answer is because you're supposed to make the shoe, you know, adjust the shoe to fit the foot, not the fit foot. You have to know what's the ikkar and what's the tafel. The ikkar is the person, is the foot. Okay, and then the shoe is what you make. So he still told this guy, he says, that's the difference, the only difference between us and you. So which is the shoe and which is the foot? Right, we hold that the Torah, Hashem, the Torah was around before the world was created. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. Hashem created the world based on the Torah. So what's the ikkar? The ikkar is the Torah. That whole world, we were only created from the Torah. Right, so that's the ikkar. Okay, so therefore, what do we have to do? We have to make us fit the shoe, fit the foot, which is the Torah. Okay, so we have to change to make sure that we do what we have to do so we can keep the Torah, which is the ikkar. Right, with you looking at it the other way around. He says, he said, the person's the ikkar, and they're the shoe, and the Torah is like is the foot, and by you, the person's the foot, and the Torah is like the shoes. Okay, let's change the shoe, change the Torah. He said, but you got things backwards, right? You have to know what the shoe is, what the foot. It says, Gamliel says, whoever doesn't say these three things on are not Yotzei Rechova, and they are Pesach, Matzah, Mar. So the question everybody asks is the order, right? The Pesach, Hashem Pesach by the houses, Matzah that we went in after that, we went out and we didn't have time for the bread to rise, okay? And then Umaror, what's Maror? Keneged Pashtas the Shibud. But that was before, not at the end. It should be matzah. It should be maror, Pesach matzah. Not Pesach matzah, maror. Why is maror at the end? It should be first. First came the maror, then the Pesach, then the matzah. So, different answers. But he gives an answer based on Maisa. Says that there was looked like a chashev yid. And he came to the Tosfos Yom Tov. And he said he's a mashulach. And he's collecting for the yeshiva of the Bach. So the Bach was the Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, is known as the Bais Chadash, called the Bach, a parish on the tour. So he was one of the Gdoli adore and lived in Krakow. So this guy says, I'm collecting for the yeshiva of the Bach, and I want to know if the Rav can help me. He has a Tos Yom Tov. He was in Prague. So he said, sure, you know, not only that, I'll go with you from door to door or whatever and to collect money. So he said, oh, thank you very much. Wow. He says, you know, of course, they're covered for the Bach, you know, my pleasure. So they went door to door, different stores, different houses, whatever, collect. They were walking by this Tosfos Yom Tov's house himself. He says, oh, you know, I live, you know, in my house over here. We're passing by. So he says, you know, we've been going around quite a while. Why don't we go into my house, have a cup of tea or whatever, and give us a little strength, then we can go on. So, sure, you know, so they go up to the Rav's house, and he gives them a cup of tea or whatever. Fine. And then they said, okay, ready to go. Fine, good. And they're about to leave the apartment, the Rav's apartment. So the guy, you know, wanted to give kavod to the Rav. So he said, please, Rav, you know, leave first, you know. So the Rav left his house. And as soon as he walked out, he slammed the door behind him, locked the guy in, and he locked the door. Locked the guy in the apartment. So the guy's like knocking. And says, hey, what's going on? Let me out. Screaming, bang, whatever. He doesn't let him out. Anyway, so people are hearing the screaming, whatever. And they came to, what's going on? So the Bach said, this guy's an imposter. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, this guy's an imposter. So they went into the guy, they worked him over a little bit, and then sure enough, the guy admitted it, that he's an imposter, he's really a missionary, and he was trying to get he was collecting money for the missionary movement, and they asked him, why did you think about collecting money for the Bach, Daf? He says, yeah, Bach is Bet Chet, stands for Brit Chadasha, New Testament. So that's why he picked that name. He was collecting for the Bach. I mean, he was collecting for the New Testament. Anyway, so they obviously got all their money back and et cetera, and got rid of the guy. So then they came to the Tosfos Yontem and they said, wow, that's amazing. Like, how did you figure that out? You know, he looks like a chashuv guy and he was a great cover, you know. How did you, was it Ruach HaKodesh, whatever? So the Tosfos Yontem told, no, not Ruach HaKodesh. I said, how did you know the guy was an imposter? He said, very simple. He said, we went around collecting and I noticed things just went too easy. People were giving, like giving, and no problem here. Yeah, everywhere we went, just people gave and gave and gave and gave. No problem, nothing. So he says, that's that. When it comes to Kedusha, there's always the Yetzer Hara, there's always Satan, there's always in things that are interfering. Nothing goes smoothly when you're doing Kedusha because the Satan comes in, right? So the fact that everything went so smoothly, he said, something's wrong over here. It's not for Kedusha. If it was Kedusha, we'd be running into problems on the way. So that's where I knew he was an imposter. And he was right. So he says, the same thing over here, that we asked, what's this Pesach Matamor, is out of order? So he said the same thing, that when Klal Yisrael, this was, you know, going out of Mitzrayim to go get the Torah, this is the Varash that's Kadosh. So Mele, it couldn't go smooth. It's smooth, the sign there's no Kedusha over there. So Mele, even the Pesach and the Matzah, there had to be Maror there. Right, it had to be some bitter. Couldn't be smooth. And sure enough, you know, the Malachim said, oh, why are they worthy? Look at them, and they're on a low level. Oh, they're no better than the Mitzrim. And it wasn't so easy. Right? Hashem had to give his extra mitzvah in the schools to get it. It wasn't so easy to get out, right? Because that's a good sign. Right? That's a sign that there's Kedusha over there. So Mele, even with the Pesach Matzah, there's also Maror. That's a sign of that there's Kedusha. Okay. One more last thing. Finish with this. A short thing. It says that after we say Chayav Adam liyarosas l'smo ki ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. Right. The person b'chol vador, every generation, the person has to see, look at himself as if he left Mitzrayim, as it says, v'gad levincha, etc. And then after that, we cover the matzahs, we pick up the coast, and we say lafikach anachnu chayavim lohodos lahalo. We have to there for thank you Hashem, etc. So he says the connection is that first we say Chayav Adam Lira, he first has to feel as if he left Mitzrayim, and right after that we said Lafikach Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos, we have to thank you. Why? Because somebody who's someone who is a Kafui Tov, who doesn't recognize good that's done to him, he's not a mensch, he's not an Adam, right? And therefore, right after we mention that, oh, we feel like we left, right after that we say, oh, thank you Hashem. Because you don't thank Hashem, you don't thank us, give thanks, that's not a mensch. A mensch realizes when good is done to them, and he gives thanks. He brings a cute little thing. It says that once the Kehillah of Rabbi Yisrael Salant, they asked him, where should they start the davening in shul? At which point should they start the davening in shul? From Matovu Ohelecha Yaakov? Or from Mizmor Shir Chanukas Abayis LaDavid. Where should they start from in Shul? So he says, neither. You have to always start from Lo'olam Yehe Adam. He says, you always have to be a mensch. That's where you start from. First thing is going to be a mensch. Okay, Adkar.